I invite you to be finding in your Bible Acts chapter 2, and I'd like for us to look this morning at verses 42 through 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. I've had a few close encounters of the COVID kind this past week, and so I've been told without symptoms I should just go on with my business, but I do want to do an extra careful job of staying away from you folks as best I can. So I'm just kind of going to stay up front today and not be in your face. I'll take a rain check on that handshake or hug, and I promise there'll be a time for that at some point in the future. We have a brand new Christian here this morning. John Harris was baptized this past Monday, I believe it was, right here at the field, and we are just so excited for the decision that John has made. We won't have long, though, to love on him and congratulate him, because he and Caitlin have been reassigned. He's in the Navy, a lieutenant in the Navy, and they are heading for the Northeast. They are going to an area north of Seattle, Washington. So you talk about seeing the country. They're going from Jacksonville, Florida, where he's been stationed in the Navy, to about an hour north, I believe, of Seattle, Washington. And they'll be going very soon. So, John, congratulations. We love you, and all the best to you and Caitlin. Let's read our verses together that will make up our text this morning. Familiar passage to most of us, I'm sure. Acts 2, 42. They devoted themselves, this is the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Experts in the field of technology are telling us that 2021 will be the year of 5G. And by 5G, we mean the fifth generation of cellular and broadband technology. Now, 5G was actually developed several months ago, but it has really been hindered by this pandemic in terms of its spread across our nation and across the world. And tech experts are telling us that this will be the year that 5G spreads across the planet and has its impact on our world. Well, I don't know about that. But what I do know is that God is light years ahead of humanity in every way that you could mention. And He is light years ahead of us when it comes to 5G. God rolled out His 5G network 2,000 years ago. It was and is a network that brings people together in powerful, unprecedented, unequaled ways. The network, of course, is the church. And I want to tell you from this passage here in Acts chapter 2, the five G's that make the church so impactful and so powerful. And as I mention each of these five G's, I want you to examine yourself and ask what level of service you have right now in each one of these G's. Let me remind you at the very beginning that the Bible is not a magnifying glass that helps me look at somebody else. The Bible is a mirror that helps me look at myself. And so I would ask you to look at yourself and ask, how is your service in each of these five G's? And maybe there's some area where your service could be improved. And that's what I hope you will do following this message. I want 2021 to be the year of 5G, God's network. And this is how it can happen. The first G of the 5G network is grow. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, the first century church did not have a New Testament to open up and read as we are doing this morning. In fact, this passage describes a time in the early church in Jerusalem when it would be 60 years later when the last book of the New Testament was even written. John finished the Revelation, we believe, in AD 95, and that was when the New Testament was completely written, and then it was collected into this book that we have after that. And so how were these early Christians going to learn what God wanted them to do and to be? Well, God inspired the apostles right there in Jerusalem, and they taught. They taught Christians about the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and then they taught the Christians about how to apply that to all the different situations and circumstances that they faced in life. And so the Christians paid attention to this teaching. In fact, they devoted themselves to it. They devoted themselves to hearing this teaching and to respecting it and to understanding it and to applying it. And by so doing, they grew spiritually. As Christians, we need to devote ourselves to spiritual growth in 2021. God does not want us to just go through this year. He wants us to grow through this year. And let me tell you what it's like to live in this fallen, sinful world. It's like riding on or standing on a downward escalator. Living in this world is like standing on a downward escalator. If you stand still, you are going backwards and downward. And if you don't purposefully and intentionally and actively move yourself forward and upward, you're going to lose ground in this new year. And when we get to the end of it, you're going to be worse off spiritually than you were when we started. Can I invite you, can I encourage you to dedicate yourself to spiritual growth, to listening to the teaching of God's word, whether it be like you're doing now or in a Bible class or your own personal study or devotional time, listening to that word and looking for ways to apply it. I'm going to mention Jerry Barber. This Jerry's dad, who, of course, I've mentioned many times, is a mentor. And Jerry knows where I'm going with this. But Jerry Barber has an idea that I really love about mustard seeds. And what Jerry says is every time that I read a book or hear a message, what I try to do is just take a little tiny mustard seed from that book or from that message and carry it away. And I try to take that little tiny mustard seed and apply it to my spiritual journey. Can I encourage you to do that this year? When you hear a sermon, I know it's challenging to absorb the whole thing. It is for me. One of the reasons I aim at about 20 or 25 minutes in a sermon is because when I hear one, I can't hold much more than that. And there are some wonderful preachers who can go 45 minutes and I just feel like an avalanche is falling on me and I don't know what to do with all of it. It's just how my brain works. But when you hear a sermon, would you take a little tiny mustard seed and say, that one, that little piece of that message is the one I really need? And then try to apply that the day that you hear it and the next day and the next few days, maybe the next week. And what if all of the lessons you hear this year and all the study that you do, what if you could take a little seed away from that and allow it to cause you to grow? Just think about where you'd be at the end of the year. So let's dedicate ourselves this year to growing. And that's the first G. The second G in God's 5G network is gather. Did you notice the amount of togetherness as I read these verses here about the early church? Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, joint participation, sharing, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We believe that means gathering for the public worship on the first day of the week. All the believers were together, verse 44. Every day they continued to meet together, verse 46. They broke bread in their homes and ate together. Do you get it? God says, don't miss it. Christians get together. The purpose of the church is to bring us together, together in spirit and, when possible, together in body. In fact, the very word church, ekklesia in the Greek, means the called out and assembled. That's what the word means. God has gone up and down the streets of Centerville, Tennessee, and he's called out and he said, come out and gather. And we are the ones who have come out to gather. That's what the church is. And that is one of the reasons that we can be strong together. Now, I know, and you know, that the pandemic has certainly caused a significant interruption in service when it comes to this particular G. We know that there are segments of our population, and there's a segment of the Christian population, and they are vulnerable, and they are at risk, and they are rightfully uncomfortable about gathering, as we have gathered this morning, and we understand that. Our elders have been saying since last March, if you are vulnerable, if you are at risk, if you are uncomfortable, then just stay away from these assemblies and join us through our streaming services. Many have chosen to do. And that continues to be our message. But what we're thinking about is, what is going to happen when things open back up? What is going to happen when we get the green light about coming together in larger groups again? And of course, our fear as we look forward is that some are going to have gotten out of the habit of coming together like this. And the one thing the New Testament says we cannot do is get out of the habit of meeting together for worship. It's a familiar passage and you know it. But listen to Hebrews Chapter 10, 24 and 25. Let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds, not giving up the meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. As we've said many times, forsaking the assembly is not missing for legitimate providential reasons like this pandemic has brought us. But when we get the all clear again, and for somebody to say, well, I'm out of the habit and I haven't gone for so long and it's going to be kind of weird and I've just been doing it in my living room and that's what I'm comfortable with now, and then they could reasonably, safely come back together and don't. That's what concerns us. And so let's remember, when we get the green light again, and I hope and pray we do this calendar year, let's come back together for the assembly as the church. Many of you, like me, like to cook out. You use charcoal. I'm sure it's an experience we've all had. You put that charcoal, of course, in a pile and you light it up and it begins to burn and it gets hot and it glows. Have you noticed what happens when a single brick gets away from the pile somehow and gets over here by itself? Have you noticed? It gets cold and it gets dark, doesn't it? Because it's not with the others. And that's what happens to me if I decide that I don't need the assembly anymore. Now, let's be very clear. We are continuing to encourage the vulnerable to stay away. But when that green light happens, when that door opens again, we need to come back together as an entire group of believers, don't we? Gather. The third G in God's 5G plan is give. If you look at verse 44 of our text, all the believers were together and had everything in common. they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. I've told you before about a missionary that came to speak in a chapel service when I was a student at Freed Hardeman. I've never forgotten his message. He was able to convert this, basically the whole village of people in a third world country. And they became Christians and became the church and started meeting. And they just said, let's just read the book of Acts and let's just do whatever we see here. And they got to this passage, these verses I just read. And they said, you know what? Here's what we got to do. We got to go to the center of this village. We got to get some stakes and drive them in the ground in the shape of a circle. And we got to go get the stuff that we can do without and bring it and put it in the circle so that no one in this village will have a need. If they have a need, come and get it. And if you were just reading the book of Acts for the first time, and if you were looking at what the church ought to be doing, isn't that something like a conclusion you would come to? They had everything in common. They sold their property. Some versions say they laid the money at the feet of the apostles so that no believer in that area could be in need. God wants us to give. He wants us to give our time and our talent and our treasures so that the church can function, so that individuals can have what they need. And yes, so we can be a blessing to the world around us. I had a problem with the generosity of the church when I was a young preacher. I just could not get used to how generous you people are. I still have trouble with it. When I first got in the ministry, I'd go here, there, and yonder to speak, and not only would they give me a check for speaking and a check for gas money, but some of them would just give me one of those $20 handshakes, you know. And I was uncomfortable with all of that generosity. And my college roommate, No D. Pratt, you'll know who this is, he straightened me right up on that. He said, now, Mike, when they want to give you something, don't rob them of the joy of giving. You just take it. And you know what? He's right. There is a joy in giving. And God says, I want my people to experience it. And so we give. The fourth G is the word glow. The word glow. If you look at verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Christians are to live joyful, hopeful, optimistic lives. That is what God has called us to do. I read about a little girl went with her mother to play in a city public park. And there was another little girl there at the park, and the girl was from a foreign country. I don't know which one, but she didn't speak any English. The little girl started playing together. They couldn't talk to one another at all, but they started playing and they started running and they started giggling, played together for more than an hour and had the best time. On the way home, the mom said to her little girl, how could y'all become friends that fast? You couldn't understand one another. And she said, Mom, we understood one another's giggles. Joy is a universal language. A smile is a universal language. And anybody from anywhere, a believer or an unbeliever, can see that smile and be attracted to it and attracted by it. God says that we ought to live with that song in our heart and that smile on our face. I read about a man who was visiting a large city. Happened to be Sunday morning, and he wanted to go out and find a church to go to, and happened to look up, and here's a police officer just standing near him on the sidewalk. Visitor goes to the police officer and says, so you patrol this area? And the officer says, yep, I have lots of blocks. I'm here all the time. I mean, I know this place inside and out. What do you need? And the visitor says, well, I'd like a church to go to this morning. And the police officer says, well, follow me. I know one. So they walk several blocks until they come to this church building. And the police officer says, here it is. Go right in here. And the visitor had a question. He said to the police officer, "You know, we walked by several church buildings to get to this one. I'm wondering why you chose to bring me to this one when we passed so many on the way." And the police officer said, "I brought you to this one because I have seen these people come out of their worship services, and I can tell you for a fact they are the happiest people in this city. And I figure that's the kind of church you want to go to." My goal for us in 2021 is to be the most joyful church in this area. Like these people here, I want us to have glad hearts and sincere hearts. And I want us to praise God and enjoy one another and even enjoy the community around us. The fifth G in God's 5G network is go. Verse 47, the B part, the last part, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Folks, the church exists to know God better and to make God better known. That's our purpose. We are to follow the apostles' teachings now recorded in this New Testament. We are to follow their teaching and we are to know God better that way. And then we are to go out and make God better known. Jesus said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Now, he was talking specifically about being lifted up on the cross. But I like to take that and apply it to myself and the world around me. Just lift up Jesus and he'll attract people. Just lift up Jesus in my speech and in my actions and in my life. Just lift him up and he will draw people to him. And notice now, it's not me that's adding anybody to the church. I had the honor of baptizing my buddy John over here. I didn't add him to the church. I didn't add him to the book of saved, the book of life. I didn't do that. God did that. But what we do is just lift Jesus up in our lives and we just let people be attracted to him. And that's what I encourage us to do this year. Boy, if everyone here, we don't have as big a crowd as we will later this year when things get to normal. But if every person here this morning could reach just one person in 2021 and get them in here. Each one reach one. Just think about what we look like. We got our Christian friends out there who are streaming with us this morning. If they could reach one, can you imagine what we would look like by the end of this calendar year? And as Woody likes to say, you don't have to stand up here and do what I'm doing. But there is a way that you could reach somebody. A couple of days ago, I got a phone call from a coworker at school. And she said, "Mike, I've known this couple for the longest time, and they have an interest in being baptized, but they have questions and concerns, and they're asking me, and I don't know the answers. Would you reach out to them?" And what she did is what I'm considering going. To me, that's lifting Jesus up. I help them as I can, and if I need to go and get some other kind of help, I will, but I'm going to at least get them to the right person to talk to them about baptism and becoming a Christian. Each one reach one in 2021. And if we could do that, then God's 5G plan would spread around this community, right? Well, that's the 5G plan. And I hope 2021 will absolutely be the year of 5G. Now, maybe you've heard this and you say, "Oh, okay, that sounds like a good plan. How do I sign up? What are the terms and conditions?" Well, let me just tell you straight out of God's word. People come up with all sorts of ideas about how you get, joined up with the church. And let me just read it right out of the book here. And that way, if you've got a problem with this, you can take it up with God, not with Mike. I'm just the messenger. Well, let's look at this familiar verse as we close. We're right here at it, so why not? Acts 2:38. Peter preached a Christian sermon just like I've tried to do this morning. And they got to the end of the message and the people said, okay, well, what do you want us to do? And Peter, speaking on behalf of God, said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then Luke, as he writes this letter, just a few verses later, comes to the verse that we looked at, verse 47. What was happening to these people who were repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and receiving the Holy Spirit? Look at the end of verse 47. They were being added to the church daily by God. That's how you sign up. And if you haven't done it, I want to tell you, God's 5G network can change your life, and it will. It can change your life here, and it can and will change your life hereafter. So if you want to sign up this morning by repenting and confessing and being baptized, then come and let us know right now as together we stand and as we sing.